Getting away from expensive diesel power, at least reducing the need for diesel, was the most common goal for everyone in the room, while the larger communities are already powered by cheaper and cleaner hydroelectric plants. A number of those towns are relying more and more on diesel to supplement growing electrical demand. Several of the smaller communities are completely dependent on diesel plants. The group of about 30 local, regional, state, and federal officials met for a three-hour roundtable at Petersburg's Fire Hall, where they addressed several issues.
What is occurring in our communities? What loads do we see happening? And what continued analysis of resources is on the forefront to happen?
The facilitator was Robert Venables. He's the energy coordinator for the Southeast Conference, a regional advocacy group for businesses and communities, many of which were represented in the room. Venables reviewed some of the key findings from a recent state-sponsored planning effort on Southeast energy. One universal problem is the region's inability to store enough energy to meet peak demands in the wintertime when the water isn't flowing as much.
We kind of characterize Southeast Alaska as a Saudi Arabia of hydroelectric resources. Well, in the summertime, that's true. Run of the rivers, we have seepage and leakage and everything occurring, water left and right. But the sustaining storage capacity just doesn't exist in our hydroelectric system. And how does that get developed? Because that's where the real value is.
Many at the table emphasized the need for more generation and called for regional cooperation on the development of a large hydro project and accompanying lines that could help power a substantial part of the panhandle. Federal regulators ended a private bid to build a hydro plant at Thomas Bay near Petersburg last year after ruling that the Bellingham-based company did not pursue development of its license application in good faith and with due diligence. Petersburg had opposed that company's plans. Mayor Mark Jensen suggested Southeast municipalities should work together for hydro development in Thomas Bay.
It's my thought. We need to get more generation coming from some direction, and if we got it from Thomas Bay, it could be tied right into the grid. And potentially, maybe there could even be this is a pretty big plan, but a line that would go up and tie in with Snettisham. I mean, I know there's been talk for years of a grid all around Southeast. From there, if that would ever came into fruition, we'd be tied in from Greens Creek all the way to Metlakatla if they come across the water into Ketchikan.
Snettisham is the major hydro plant that powers Juneau, which is served by the privately owned Alaska Electric Light and Power Company. Municipal-owned utilities supply electricity to much of Southeast. That includes Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan, which govern the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. SEPA owns the two large hydro plants and connecting transmission lines that power those towns with some of the lowest rates in the state. Rather than building another big plant, Wrangell's recently retired mayor, Don McConaughey, suggested lots of smaller ones could be brought online sooner.
It just kind of makes sense to me. We all know that we all have a lot of rain. We all know that if we had a series of smaller hydroelectric projects, we could, through interties and water management, could make a very good grid that would be sustainable, and you could just plain forget about diesel generation.
Like Wrangell and Petersburg, Ketchikan is projecting a significant increase in the amount of diesel it's going to have to burn to supplement hydro and meet the growing demand over the next decade unless another significant source of hydropower is brought online. Dry weather has only made that worse in Ketchikan, which is planning for a new but small hydro project at nearby Whitman Lake. SEPA is also looking at raising the dam at its Swan Lake plant to generate more power. But even with both improvements online, Ketchikan officials expect they'll still have to burn a lot of diesel in the years to come. So the idea of collaborating on a bigger regional project appealed to City of Ketchikan Vice Mayor Bob Sievertson.
There's a lot of things, I think, that we have to work out as the communities. We have to get back on track and start working towards that common goal. We all understand we need another hydro project to get off the diesel. I think that's where our focus is going to be.
Juneau Mayor Merrill Sanford said the capital city was in the same boat.
It seems to me that we all are beginning to bump up against the upper end of our hydro capacities, and we're all looking at ways to try to overcome that.
The situation has long been much more severe for the communities in Southeast that are entirely dependent on diesel. Communities like Angoon, Hoona, and Cake, which continue to struggle with the high cost of electricity. The Village Native Corporation for Angoon, Kootsnuwu, has been working to develop a small hydro plant at Thayer Lake to offset the town's diesel use. Governor Sean Parnell approved $7 million for the project in last year's budget. Angoon Mayor Richard George pointed out that Thayer Lake has been in discussion for decades. He worried whether there would be enough funding to finally get it built.
We've got a group of people back home that are waiting. They're waiting for this to happen. And this group of people are very concerned from the state's posture that their funding is being depleted. So it's been an upward struggle.
Angoon has dropped efforts to pursue a large for-profit hydro development at Thomas Bay, 70 miles to the south near Petersburg. The community was at odds over that plan. George said he was mainly at the meeting to encourage support for the proposed electrical intertie from Petersburg to Cake. Cake is one of several smaller towns that gets diesel power from the Inside Passage Electric Cooperative. The nonprofit is working on a number of projects to offset the high cost of diesel electricity. IPEC General Manager Jody Mitchell said the more she heard about the growing load in communities that are already served by hydro, the more worried she was that there would not be enough surplus for Cake when the intertie comes online. She encouraged the group to pursue a large hydro project.
So that we can have some security about power, and that the people of Cake aren't disappointed that when the intertie comes in that they will actually be getting power from it.
A contractor for the U.S. Forest Service is preparing a draft environmental impact statement for the Cake-Petersburg intertie. That document's expected to come out sometime this spring. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.